Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, January 9th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump makes a primetime bid for his border wall.
There is a growing humanitarian and security crisis at our southern border.
The U.S. and China wrap up trade talks in Beijing.
Global stocks surge as risk assets rise and havens slump.
And investors await the latest policy clues from the Fed.
Top congressional Democrats responded to President Trump's address on border security.
President Trump must stop holding the American people hostage, must stop manufacturing a crisis.
I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks, the Rangers, the Devils, Islanders, and St. John's all lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Risk assets are rising this morning as havens slump. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures rising this morning up 8.5 points. Dow futures up 88. NASDAQ futures up 27. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. CAC in Paris up 1.1%. And the FTSE 100 is up 1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 2.25%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.58%. NYMEX crude oil up 2% or 99 cents to $50.77 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3%, down $4.10 to $12.81.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1454, and the yen, 108.90. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with President Trump's primetime bid for a border wall.
The federal government remains shut down. For one reason, and one reason only, because Democrats will not fund border security.
The address from the Oval Office offered no new path to end the partial government shutdown. Neither did the response from Democratic leaders Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi.
No president should pound the table and demand he gets his way, or else the government shuts down, hurting millions of Americans who are treated as leverage.
President Trump must stop holding the American people hostage, must stop manufacturing a crisis, and must reopen the government.
Shutdown is now in its 19th day with no end in sight, and now Fitch is warning of a possible cut to the U.S. AAA credit rating if the shutdown continues to March and leads to the government hitting its debt ceiling. That's according to Reuters.
Turning to trade now, talks between the U.S. and China have concluded in Beijing. Negotiators extended discussions into a third day after initial plans called for just 2 days of talks. And Bloomberg's Jenny Leonard says plans are already in the works for another round of negotiations.
What we've heard is that a meeting is being prepared for later this month. And then there's also, of course, President Trump with his cabinet going to Davos later this month. A Chinese delegation will be there, too, so there could be some engagement there.
We now await statements from Washington and Beijing for details on progress made in this round of talks.
Meanwhile, sources tell Bloomberg President Trump is eager to strike a trade deal to help boost stocks. Sean Donnan has details from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Increasingly in the White House, President Trump is minded to try and strike some kind of deal to find a way out of this. A lot is going to depend on where President Trump is. And what we're hearing increasingly is that he wants to strike a deal and he wants to do it soon. He wants to calm the markets.
That has some China hawks in the administration increasingly concerned about how market volatility is affecting the president's mood on trade.
But there's word that the president could soon have even more power when it comes to trade policy. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with that story. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Sources tell Bloomberg President Trump will use his State of the Union address to urge Congress to expand his powers to increase U.S. tariffs. The bill, crafted by White House trade advisor Peter Navarro's office, would give the president broad authority to increase levies on U.S. exports if he considers trade measures from other countries to be too restrictive. Sources say the White House has been working on the initiative with a few House Republicans, but it's unclear whether the bill will succeed. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. Stocks in Asia posted gains today as positive signs emerged from trade talks. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Chinese and Hong Kong stocks led gains on news of further stimulus efforts. The Nikkei 225 rose by over 1% in Tokyo, with pharma companies and electronics the best performers. The Aussie dollar and yuan rose amid the trade optimism, while India's rupee led declines amongst Asian FX as crude oil hit a three-week high. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Stocks in Europe are also getting a boost this morning. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Sebastian Salik live in the London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. European stocks up some 0.8% now. The majority of the sector groups rising, led by the automakers. China signalling its intention to boost the consumption of cars in the country. It's also been a strong session for the miners. WTI oil back above $50. The telecoms, they're suffering, though. They're the worst performing sector for a second day in a row. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salik, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Sebastian. West Texas Intermediate crude is back above $50 a barrel, extending its longest rally in a year and a half. It is part of the global gain in risk assets as fears ease that the trade war will hurt demand. Checking prices now, West Texas Intermediate's up 98 cents at $50.76 a barrel, while Brent crude is up $1.08 to $59.80.
Begin minutes from the Federal Reserve's December policy meeting today at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
Central bankers raised the federal funds target another quarter point last month, but also signaled fewer rate hikes this year. Bloomberg Economics says the minutes will be scrutinized for clues to the Fed's thinking amid signs the economy is shifting into a lower gear. Earlier this week, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, Raphael Bostic, said the central bank should opt for just one rate hike this year. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. And a programming note for you. Tune in later today for an exclusive interview with Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren. He sits down for a conversation on Bloomberg Radio and television at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
All right, Nathan, thank you. Watching Lennar reporting earnings this morning, fourth quarter profit missing analysts' estimates, coming in at $1.96 a share. Analysts were looking for $2.03. Revenue also missing. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up about 10 points. Dow futures up 99. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. 6:07 is the time on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to find out more of what's happening in the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump and Democratic leaders have presented their cases regarding the government shutdown and border wall. However, is it enough to provide some sort of breakthrough to end the partial government shutdown now in its 19th day? Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
Mr. Trump painted a picture of human suffering, loss of American lives at the hands of immigrants, a drug crisis created by lax security at the southern border. He drew an analogy of why wealthy Americans build walls.
They don't build walls because they hate the people on the outside, but because they love the people on the inside.
Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer and Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi say the issues are separate and the government needs to be reopened while the right way to border security is found.
We can build the infrastructure and roads at our ports of entry. We can install new technology to scan cars and trucks for drugs coming into our nation.
Another meeting at the White House is scheduled in San Francisco. I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio.
Deputy Attorney General Ron Rosenstein is expected to leave his role at the Department of Justice in the coming weeks once the new AG is confirmed. That's according to ABC News. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team suspects that former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort shared polling data on the 2016 election with an associate tied to Russian intelligence and lied about it. It's from a court filing by Manafort's lawyers after portions of the document were improperly redacted and allowed an unintended glimpse. British Prime Minister Theresa May will restart her stalled bid to win support for her Brexit deal today. Bloomberg's Tim Ross in London reports it comes a day after her strategy suffered a serious defeat.
Theresa May has just 5 working days to convince Parliament to back her Brexit deal in a key vote next week. She's warning that politicians will risk a damaging no-deal departure in March if they reject her Brexit blueprint. But on Tuesday night, members of Parliament dealt a blow to May's strategy by voting against her no-deal plans. In London, Tim Ross, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, the Knicks have been on the road for 2 weeks. They played 6 games. They lost 5. No surprise last night against the two-time defending NBA champions. Golden State cruised 122-95. Klay Thompson scored 43 points, hit 7 three-pointers. So the Knicks hit the halfway mark of the season, 10-31. Their coach, David Fizdale.
We got to learn how to play complete games, hopefully over the second half of the season. But, you know, I expect us to continue to get better. I expect the second half for the young guys to be a little more familiar, you know, and hopefully we can get a little more trust between us because, you know, we go through waves of trust offensively right now. You know, it's a combination of things that bring that up, but, you know, we'll keep working at that. I know our intentions are well, and, I expect us to keep improving.
It was the Knicks last game ever at Oracle Arena in Oakland. The Rangers' losing streak reached 4, a little closer this time, but a 4-2 setback in Vegas. Islanders back at the Nassau Coliseum. Their 6-game winning streak came to an end, beaten by Carolina, who's won 5 straight, 4-3. Devils lost in Buffalo, 5-1, all 5 Sabres goals in the second period. St. John's, the defending NCAA champs, had a late lead at Villanova, but Wildcats finished on a 14-4 run and won 76-71. Easy win for top-ranked Duke at Wake Forest. NFL coaching news, Tampa Bay and Arizona went different ways. The Bucs hired 66-year-old coaching lifer Bruce Arians, who was in retirement after 5 years with Arizona. That job went to 39-year-old Cliff Kingsbury, who not only doesn't have NFL experience, he was just fired at Texas Tech, but he's considered a quarterback whisperer. And with the Cardinals, he'll work with their young QB, Josh Rosen. Ex-Green Bay coach Mike McCarthy reportedly is interested in only one job, and it's the Jets. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanchow. Nathan.
John, thank you. In other sports news, New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft has been awarded Israel's 2019 Genesis Prize. It's in recognition of his philanthropy and his commitment to fighting anti-Semitism. $1 million award is widely known as the Jewish Nobel Prize. The money will be donated to initiatives combating anti-Semitism and other forms of prejudice. Futures pointing to a higher open on Wall Street this morning, with S&P futures up nearly 7 points, Dow futures ahead by 76, NASDAQ futures up 25 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up on 6:12 on Wall Street, the Fed releases the minutes from its December policy meeting at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Ahead of that, we speak with Bloomberg Economics senior U.S. economist Yelena Shulyacheva. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Erin Roman at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Karen. China and U.S. trade talks wrapped up, with sources telling Bloomberg they're closing in on issues like energy and agriculture, but remain far apart on other items. President Trump's primetime bid to end the border impasse fell flat. His address offered nothing new, and neither did remarks from Democrats Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Jeffrey Gundlach says the U.S. national debt is a, quote, horrific situation. The Double Line CEO says it poses a bigger threat to the economy than people realize. And BlackRock isn't shaken by last year's slide in technology stocks. Strategist Kate Moore recommends owning U.S. and Chinese tech companies that could benefit from a potential trade deal. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Erin, thank you. And futures this morning are moving higher. S&P futures up 8.5 points. Dow futures up 94. NASDAQ futures up 29. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. Yield 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year 2.58%. NYMEX crude oil up 2% or 98 cents to $50.76 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.33%, down $4.10 at $1,281.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1452, and the yen, 108.88. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, most GOP lawmakers remain firmly behind President Trump's fight to fund a border wall, but that solidarity was beginning to crack among Republicans from competitive states and districts as the government shutdown heads into its 19th day. As President Trump addressed the nation from the Oval Office last night, the president's allies insist they'll reject any new attempts by Democrats to pass government funding bills without the $5.7 billion the president is demanding for the wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. Deputy Attorney General Ron Rosenstein is reportedly leaving the Department of Justice in the coming weeks, according to ABC. In the NBA, the Knicks lost to the Warriors. The Wizards lost. In the NHL, the Islanders, Rangers, and Devils all lost. The Capitals and Bruins won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barb. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. Well, we get minutes from the Federal Reserve's December policy meeting at 2 p.m. Wall Street time today. And joining us now, Bloomberg economist Yelena Shuletova. Will the minutes give us any clues about the Fed's future rate path?
Well, the FOMC revised down the whole trajectory of interest rates at the December meeting. So they revised down 2019, they revised down the terminal rate, and they revised down the neutral rate as well. So we will be looking for clues as to why they did it. And that would include the risks to financial markets, the risks to the global economy, or they're just simply not seeing any inflationary pressures in the economy. So that will be interesting to see what led them to revise down the trajectory of interest rates.
Jerome Powell, is he data-dependent right now or S&P 500-dependent?
Well, it's one of the risks. Financial conditions is one of the risks that the Fed is watching, including the chairman. And a lot of policymakers indicated in recent speeches that this is one of the factors for them to assess the economic outlook going forward. But I think for now, it's not enough for them to really, you know, say, okay, that's it. We are just, you know.
Well, put another way, how much is this like 2016?
I think, yes. So Jerome Powell in his speech actually nodded to that, what happened in 2016. So
just for clarification, I think they had projected four increases for that year. And then
they delivered
the
just
markets
one.
Went.
So I think we're not there yet. And the economy is at a totally different state right now. So even like if you look at the unemployment rate, the unemployment rate was much higher back then. And growth has really been stronger now. So, and we are actually, the most important thing is that we are going to see some signs of inflation. In the latest payrolls report that we received last week, we saw that wage pressures are intensifying. So we had 3 months in a row of 3-plus percent growth in wages. So that will filter into inflation,
and that
will create
one of their
a different picture.
Inflation. That report, but that's a look in the rearview mirror, is it not?
Well, it just shows you what's going on with the economy.
I would suggest you're more looking toward forward-looking economic indicators.
Sure. We have seen a lot of signs, especially in the survey data, in the latest PMI data, that there are a lot of signs of concern among businesses. But at the same time, it will be really hard to derail the economy that relies so heavily on the consumer. And consumer spending has been growing at a very robust rate. And the labor market, how it will be really hard to push the unemployment rate very much up from where it is right now.
Okay, let's shift gears a little. Government shutdown. Is there an economic impact?
Not yet. I would say that the impact has been manageable so far, despite the fact that a lot of people are just really suffering from what is going on. So it has a lot of impact on individual families, but not on the economy. So no impact on GDP, really. And if there is any, you know, like back in 1995, it's quickly reversible. So that's one
Why
thing.
Why is it reversible?
Remember. Because when the government reopens,
okay, you get back pay.
The furloughed people are back paid.
Okay,
and that's why
about
there's no much impact on payrolls either in January. So if it lingers, there will be not much of an impact because these people will be back paid most likely, and they will be considered employed when they are surveyed.
Okay, that's in the statistics. The government is a very big employer, and a lot of contractors depend on government money. How does that, I mean, does that figure into it? For like 5 seconds, but
the,
10 seconds.
The longer it lasts, the more impact we will have, obviously.
All right, Helena, thank you. Just a reminder also that the Boston Fed president, Eric Rosengren, he's going to be interviewed on Bloomberg Television and Radio. That's at 1:30 Wall Street time, so make sure to tune in for that. Elena Shalantova, Bloomberg U.S. economist. Thanks very much. We appreciate it. Ahead of the market open, S&P futures 6 points higher. The Dow futures up 75. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, John. 6:25 on Wall Street. Stay with us on Bloomberg Daybreak. We'll continue checking the markets, bring you the latest business headlines and more reaction to President Trump's Oval Office address on what he calls a national crisis at the border. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks overseas are higher once again on optimism over U.S.-China trade talks. In fact, stocks in the U.S. are enjoying their best start to the year in at least a decade. President Trump's address to the nation on border security is doing little to disrupt the risk-on mood. We'll have more on that speech in just a moment.
As for trade, the two countries wrapped up discussions in Beijing today. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has details from Hong Kong.
The talks in Beijing were extended for a third day today. That alone was considered positive by investors. Then sources told us that President Trump wants a deal to help soothe the markets. Now, since these talks started back in May, they have repeatedly yielded no breakthroughs. But with Hong Kong and China stocks rallying around 2% today, it seems investors are saying this time could be different. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. And sources tell Bloomberg the U.S. and China are getting closer on areas including energy and agriculture, but further apart on some tougher trade issues.
The thaw in trade tensions is helping oil rise for an eighth straight session, its longest rally in a year and a half. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is up 1.9%. It's at $50.73 a barrel. Brent is up 1.7% at $59.70.
Now, the trade dispute is impacting the auto market in China. Annual car sales there dropped for the first time in more than two decades.
The incoming chief executive at Daimler is expressing optimism at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. He says the Mercedes-Benz maker can deliver another year of record sales, despite forecasts for the first contraction in industry demand in a decade.
And investors are going to focus on the Fed today. At 2 p.m. Wall Street time, the Federal Reserve issues minutes from its December policy meeting. 6:32 on Wall Street, time for the Volatility Index report. The VIX fell yesterday to close at 2047. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 2044. Karen, that's this morning's Volatility Report.
And let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 4.5 points right now. They are trimming their gains just a bit. Dow futures up 55. NASDAQ futures up 18. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. The CAC in Paris is up 1.1%. And the FTSE 100 up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.73%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.58%. COMEX gold is down 0.33% on $4.40 at $12.81.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.14.44. The yen, 108.90. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. The news update is brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.com. .net. Good morning, Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump demanded Congress provide billions of dollars more to combat illegal migration in a primetime address. However, the president stopped short of declaring a national emergency as the standoff continues over a proposed wall on the Mexican border.
This is a humanitarian crisis, a crisis of the heart, and a crisis of the soul.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer rejected President Trump's description of a crisis on the Mexican border in their response to the president's address. Pelosi says much of what the president said is, quote, full of misinformation and even malice.
President Trump has chosen to hold hostage critical services for the health, safety, and well-being of the American people and withhold the paychecks of 800,000 innocent workers across the nation, many of them veterans.
And Axios is now reporting the White House Office of Management and Budget is exploring whether President Trump can tap the Pentagon for the funds needed to build the border wall. Today, the president is expected to have lunch with Senate Republicans, and later the president will meet with congressional leaders from both sides of the aisle at the White House. The partial government shutdown has entered its 19th day. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein is reportedly expected to leave his role at the Department of Justice in the coming weeks once the new AG is confirmed. That's according to ABC News. Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort is accused of sharing information related to the 2016 election with a Russian contact. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the story.
The information was accidentally revealed in a defense filing that was meant to be redacted. It shows that Manafort shared polling data during the 2016 presidential campaign with a business associate accused of having ties to Russian intelligence, and according to the court filing, prosecutors accused Manafort of lying to them about it. Manafort denied intentionally lying, though he agreed he might have recalled some things incorrectly. Still, it raises the possibility that Russia might have used inside information from Trump's Republican campaign as part of its effort to interfere with the election on Trump's behalf. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, talk about a rough night for local teams. The Knicks, the Rangers, the Devils, Islanders, St. John's, they all lost. No surprise about the Knicks. At Golden State, all Warriors, 122-95 as Klay Thompson went off for 43 points. Knicks road trip over at 1-5. First half of the season over at 10-31. Rangers fourth straight loss, 4-2 in Las Vegas. The Golden Knights seventh straight win. The Devils fell 5-1 in Buffalo. All five Sabres goals came in the second period. The Islanders' six-game win streak came to an end at the Nassau Coliseum. Isles and Carolina tied at 2 with 3 minutes left. The Hurricanes scored twice, minute and a half apart. Isles got one back 8 seconds later. But Barry Trotz's team beaten by Carolina 4-3.
I thought we just mismanaged the game. You look at all their goals. First goal didn't have layers. We're stuck on the wall when there's a battle on the puck. Therefore, they're able to take it to the net, get a little bit of a lucky bounce out of it. You know, I didn't think we had enough of our lines going. I thought the Nelson line was really good for us. The rest, not as good as I'd like to see.
Islanders at the Rangers tomorrow night. Good effort by St. John's. Fell short at Villanova, 76-71. Drops the Red Storm to 14-2. Manhattan is 3-12. Lost by 15 at Marist. Word is the only job that former Green Bay coach Mike McCarthy is interested in is the Jets' job, replacing Todd Bowles. He's got a new gig. He'll coach the defense at Tampa Bay. The Bucs just hired Bruce Arians as their new coach. Cliff Kingsbury, who interviewed with the Jets, got hired by Arizona, despite no NFL experience. He had just got fired at Texas Tech. He was going to be the offensive assistant at USC. Cardinals gave him the gig based on his experience working with young quarterbacks. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Some of the biggest mergers of 2018 also attracted big shareholder lawsuits. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
35 of 58 deals with price tags of $5 billion or more were hit with at least one lawsuit. The tech and financial services sectors saw the most.
Acquisitions of U.S.-based technology companies prompted 26 total lawsuits, while deals for companies in the financial services and real estate industry drew about 20.
Bloomberg Law's Jacob Rund.
A lot of times these suits are intended to block the merger before it happens, and sometimes the merger happens and then they will bring the lawsuit after it is completed, and they're looking for damages.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Nancy, thanks. It is 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Now leading a highly polarized House of Representatives, Speaker Nancy Pelosi has zeroed in on one issue that commands broad public support: requiring background checks on gun sales. 85% of Americans support them. The House Democrats' new legislation to require these checks should be passed without delay. Americans want this for obvious reasons. Since 1994, background checks have blocked more than 3.5 million gun sales to felons, domestic abusers, and others prohibited from buying firearms. Yet a loophole makes it easy to evade scrutiny. The new legislation would require unlicensed sellers to meet buyers at a federally licensed gun dealer, which would run a background check on the purchaser. Once the House passes the bill, the Senate should promptly schedule a vote. With support for the gun lobby waning, Republicans, too, should be guided by reason and public demand. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. It is 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
First, the focus was on plastic grocery bags, then on drinking straws. Now, the eco-friendly spotlight is turning to printed receipts. California would become the first state to require businesses to offer electronic receipts by 2022 unless customers ask for paper copies, under legislation proposed by Democratic Assemblyman Phil Ting of San Francisco. He points out that many businesses and consumers already are moving toward e-receipts, but says a law is still needed because many consumers don't realize most paper receipts are coated with chemicals, can't be recycled, and can contaminate other recycled paper. Ting says there's another benefit. Businesses can save money by moving away from printed receipts. The advocacy group Green America is pushing a Skip the Slip campaign. The proposal comes just days after another first-in-the-nation California law took effect, requiring dine-in restaurants to provide drinking straws only at a customer's request. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Bob, thank you. We've got green on the screen as far as equity markets goes. S&P futures up 5 points. Dow futures ahead by 64. NASDAQ futures up 20 points. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. The yield at 2.73%. 2-year at 2.58%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up on 6:41 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. 6:47 on Wall Street. The president of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis saying he's concerned that any more interest rate increases could push the U.S. economy into a recession. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, James Bullard said, quote, "We've got a good level of the policy rate today, and there's no urgent need to go higher." Bullard is a voting member of the Federal Open Market Committee. And futures are moving higher this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trending higher right now, with Dow futures up 64 points. S&P's gained 5.5, and NASDAQ futures climbed by 20. Crude rises back above $50 a barrel, and the U.S. 10-year yield at 2.74%. Asia markets climbed overnight, led by 2.3% gains in Hong Kong, while European markets are also climbing, led by 1% gains in France and Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 2 o'clock, the minutes from the FOMC. And after the bell last night, Apple supplier Skyworks cut its sales and profit forecast. Regarding earnings this morning, Lennar missed estimates and looked for Constellation Brands to report around 7:30. In other news, the Global Times reported that China and the U.S. will release a message tomorrow morning. And in deal news, CBS is set to prepare for merger talks at their January 31st meeting. Wrapping things up, Genuine Parts was upgraded to neutral at Bank of America. Over at Barclays, Lowe's and Oracle were both downgraded to equal weight. At Goldman Sachs, Brown & Forman and Estee Lauder downgraded to sell, while Colgate was upgraded to buy. Nike was upgraded to buy at HSBC, and Bank of America upgraded to buy over at UBS. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump says his administration's $5.7 billion request for a physical barrier along the southern border would be a steel barrier that is absolutely critical to U.S. national security. President Trump, in a national address from the Oval Office, says a 45-minute meeting with Democrats could resolve the impasse and reopen the government. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer, in a response to the president's speech, reiterated their position to sign legislation to end the shutdown, then negotiate over border security. And Axios is now reporting the White House Office of Management and Budget is exploring whether President Trump can tap the Pentagon for the funds needed to build the border wall. In the NBA, the Knicks lost to the Warriors. The Wizards lost. In the NHL, the Islanders, the Rangers, and Devils all on the losing side. The Capitals and Bruins won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, Brazil is known for its steakhouses and premium beef exports. However, it is now home of the Whopper. Burger King says it is opening a fast food restaurant in Brazil every 3 to 4 days. It's challenging McDonald's and the number of outlets. And Nathan, it's a cheaper shift from the pricier Churrascaria, where slabs of old drool barbecued beef are cut from your table.
Oh, man. As if I weren't hungry enough, Michael.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
It's no White Castle. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. They're good. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Yum, yum. Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the ongoing reaction to President Trump's primetime Oval Office address on border security. Later today, the president will be on Capitol Hill to strategize with Senate Republicans. Then it's back to the White House for more talks with congressional leaders as a partial government shutdown now is in its 19th day. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us now. Kate, is there any sign that either speech by the president or by congressional Democratic leaders made any headway in breaking this impasse?
In short, I'd say not really. I mean, what we heard from Trump, there was a lot of speculation beforehand about whether or not the president might follow through on something he was said to be considering, which was declaring a national emergency to respond to the border crisis, what he discharacterized as a national security crisis at the border. We didn't see him do that. We heard him instead sort of rattle off familiar kind of talking points and statistics and criticism of Democrats without really changing his position or offering a path forward at all in terms of how they might resolve the shutdown. And similarly with Democrats, they seem to just not show any sense that they might be willing to sort of rescind their position at all in terms of their opposition to the wall. So it sounds like what we had last night is both sides just kind of publicly, even more publicly than they have before, dig in on their positions.
Yeah, and you know, not to be too flippant about it, but given that, the fact that it doesn't appear as though any new points were made in terms of the argument. What was the point of last night?
Well, I think in some ways, I think that from the White House's perspective, at least, the goal was to kind of take the case directly to the American people, which is something that Trump hadn't done as explicitly before. It's a very high profile perch for him to use, you know, sitting behind the desk in the Oval Office. It was a bit unusual in that usually when we see presidents do that, it's in times of war or calls for national unity. And we did see a bit of a shift in tone from Trump. He did talk about the crisis as in humanitarian terms, which we haven't seen him really do before. And so I think that, you know, it was maybe an attempt to appeal to a broader constituency beyond just his core base. But whether or not he was successful in doing that, I think remains really to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll be looking for more signs of that later today as yet more meetings happen. Another round of talks in the White House Situation Room. Can we expect any new headway from what's coming next?
Well, I think it's, of course, always possible that there could be some kind of a breakthrough. But I think that, especially given the way the White House is kind of set up this week, in terms of the president's appearances, we know that he's going to the border tomorrow. I would expect him to sort of reiterate many of the points that he's been making via Twitter for weeks now, and also that he made in his speech last night when he visits the border tomorrow. And so I think that in some ways that has a chilling effect on any talks or any possibility of a deal or a breakthrough before at least that is behind him, because, you know, Democrats, I think, would be loath to make a deal today and then have him go to the border tomorrow and declare victory just from a political standpoint. That doesn't make sense. So I think that, you know, we're unlikely to see much movement before, you know, Friday at the very earliest. And Friday is also significant because that's the day that hundreds of thousands of federal employees who have been on furloughs are going to be missing their first paycheck. So I think that I would look ahead maybe to Friday as potentially the next inflection point for some kind of a development.
Yeah, I would think that as we start to see more of those, you know, actual tangible effects of the shutdown, that that's going to put more pressure on just about everybody to come to some kind of solution, if nothing else, on the shutdown.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, what we could see is potentially an agreement to have further discussions about the wall after the government gets back up and running. That's something that Nancy Pelosi has put on the table. And so I think that, you know, in some ways that would be a face-saving way for the president to get the government up and running again without looking like he's completely abandoned his promise for wall funding. But really, he won't have any more leverage once the government's up and running to make Democrats go his way than he does now. So I think, you know, leverage-wise, this is his best shot at getting wall funding, but he doesn't seem to necessarily have the leverage he needs even now.
Yeah, you mentioned Friday perhaps as an inflection point on shutdown negotiations. March 1st, of course, is the deadline for potential tariffs to kick in from the U.S. Against China. What to make of the latest round of negotiations, the conclusion of talks between the U.S. and Beijing, real quickly?
It sounds like the talks are kind of muddling along. It sounds like they're still far apart on certain issues, but on some agricultural issues, for instance, they may have made some progress. I think what's most telling is that the president, by all accounts or by Bloomberg's account, is, you know, showing renewed eagerness or new eagerness to make a deal with China because of the volatility right now in the stock market. So I think that that could yield some kind of progress in the coming weeks.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. Small businesses continue to struggle to find qualified workers. The percentage of firms reporting an inability to fill open positions jumped to 39% from 34% in the latest NFIB survey. Bill Dunkelberg is the NFIB's chief economist.
They have lots of customers to serve. If they could just hire some more people, they'd get it done. And that's their top problem.
Well, small businesses can breathe a sigh of relief that the economic expansion remains on solid footing. That evidenced by the December employment report that showed an addition of 312,000 people in the labor force. It may ease small business hiring concerns, and it should help soften the blow to small business confidence coming from a spike in political uncertainty and signs that global growth will slow this year. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. And some other stories we've been following. The president of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis saying he's concerned that any more interest rate increases could push the U.S. economy into a recession. He made the comments in an interview with the Wall Street Journal, and James Bullard is a voting member of the Federal Open Market Committee. We're all watching shares of MasterCard this morning. The MasterCard was upgraded to buy at UBS, and the shares are up 1.2% right now. We're also watching out for shares of Lennar this morning after fourth quarter profit and revenue missed analyst estimates. Futures are higher, though. S&P futures up 7.5 points. Dow futures up 81. And NASDAQ futures are up almost 28. The 10-year Treasury down 3/32. The yield 2.74%. Straight ahead, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.